Hello and welcome to Banking Transformed. I'm your host, Jim Roos, owner and CEO of the Digital Bank Report and co-publisher of the Financial Brand. In March of this year, Square Financial Services officially launched its bank after receiving its Industrial Loan Corporation license from the FDIC a year prior. The Salt Lake City Bank is owned by Square, a fintech worth more than all but four U.S. banks, according to the KBW Bank Index. Square Financial Services will offer services like deposits and other products, initially to service a nationwide network of small businesses, many who already operate on the Square payment processing platform. I'm excited to have Square Financial Services CEO Lou Goodwin on the Banking Transformed podcast. He will discuss the strategy behind building a bank to serve small businesses and the challenges facing fintech players in North America. Historically, Square has been best known for its card reader and point-of-sale payment solution, used largely by small businesses, but it's also facilitated credit for entrepreneurs and small businesses that have used its products. The formation of its new bank gives Square the ability to directly provide access to loans and banking tools for the underserved populations. So, Louis, I think we met each other, oh my gosh, several years ago in Phoenix when you were at GoBank, and now you're at Square Financial Services. So it's great to finally have you on the Banking Transformed podcast. It's interesting because while there's differences, obviously, between GoBank and Square, you know, there are a lot of similarities in that you're serving underserved populations, both in the consumer and now in the small business area. So how is your role at Square Financial Services really different than what you were doing at GoBank?
Well, first of all, thank you, Jim. And thank you for inviting me to participate on Banking Transformed, which it's a pleasure to be with you and your loyal followers today.
Thank you.
So the similarities of GoBank, as you mentioned, was truly a pioneer in the digital bank account and actually giving cards to consumers that were underbanked and really overlooked. And when I look at Square Financial Services, we do much the same thing. And that is looking and helping small businesses come into the banking system where before it was very hard for them to enter and really fully participate in the banking system. And if I look at, you know, Square and Square Financial, I mean, we service really small businesses, a lot of which are sole proprietors, and we're able to offer them, as we've gone forward, a full suite of financial products and services. So I think that's the similarities and what we're doing today at Square.
You know, it's interesting because over the past several years, we've seen fintech firms increasingly offer product and services that were traditionally provided just by traditional banks. But Square is certainly a technology firm that offers a broader array of financial services. You know, when you look at the marketplace right now, what organic advantages does Square have in the marketplace, especially when you're running against not only traditional banks, but against a lot of big tech firms that are even bigger than Square?
You know, as I look at Square and Square Financial, Square's mission is firmly focused on economic empowerment. That's how we began. That's what our purpose has been. And truly, everyone at Square is committed to easing the pain points for our customers or our sellers. And so we're always looking at ways that we can help them provide and do the business that they have worked their whole life to get to. And we've been able to provide them with the tools to first actually process and process their payments for the debit cards and credit cards with only processing fees, no contracts, and we provide the hardware. And then we've just continued to add different products as we have seeing their pain points, and that really leads to how we started Square Capital, which is now Square Loans. And over 6 years ago, we saw that there was a huge need for businesses to have capital, and that allowed us to use the data that we have and collect, in a way to provide small businesses credit, which they've just not had the opportunity for, previously.
Well, going back a little bit in the discussion, Square Financial Services got a license as an industrial bank. What is the difference between getting a license as an industrial bank as opposed to a traditional banking license?
Well, first of all, I would say qualifying for any banking license today demonstrates a strong commitment from the participant and the applicant. And if you look at the entry requirements, they are demanding, and they should be. If you look at what a regulator has to do, they have to be able to keep a high standard to make sure that the barrier to entry, brings in strong players. Because if you can't trust the banking institution, I think that you really have a big failure in society. If you allow people in that aren't committed to serving the customer and being compliant and safe and sound, then that's not a good thing for anybody in the ecosystem. But even more so, obtaining a license as an ILC or an industrial bank is even higher, because the companies that are mainly looking at getting into an industrial bank are non-traditional in nature. They, as you mentioned, have a specific product, or they have a very focused business plan, and they don't have the traditional look of a financial institution. And so if you look at our charter, we were the first fintech to be granted an industrial charter, and really one of two entities that have been granted an ILC in the past 13 years. So it is a high bar, and again, it should be. And I'll say, one other thing that's, I think, interesting here is that the regulatory landscape, I think, is less of a challenge and more of an opportunity, because as we look over the past decade and then recently at the Square Financial Services, being a financial institution, an industrial bank, gives us a seat at the table. It gives us the ability to help regulators understand the day-to-day struggles of small businesses and what it takes to work their cash flow, to go through what they have to do to have lending opportunities or opportunities in the marketplace in general. And so I think that we can help regulators understand throughout the entire cycle how small businesses and what their needs are and how they can perform.
So does the ILC designation, the license from the ILC, allow you to get into consumer services for consumers as well, financial services for consumers as well? Or are you pretty much regulated to just stay within the small business segment?
No, the industrial charter is very much like a traditional bank charter. There are very few limitations. And so, it certainly allows entrance into the consumer space as well as the small business space. And, we've chosen to focus on the small business space as we've entered into, our de novo period.
So it's interesting because, you know, obviously small businesses are people too, but the possibility of serving other underserved market segments, while that has been attacked by other fintech companies, is this something that may be on the horizon for Square Financial Services?
Well, we certainly have a full plate now with what we've got. And again, in our de novo period, I think it's important that the regulators get comfortable with how we do business and how Square does business and how Square supports us, you know, to be a strong institution and a compliant institution. But I think there's a lot of opportunities as we look forward.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I often mention my continued dissatisfaction with my traditional business bank. Now, they do the basics really well. There's no argument there. They're local, they're convenient, all that. But they have a difficult time showing me that they understand me, my business, my customers, or even my banking needs. In fact, many times they mistarget me with offers for things I already have, all these different dynamics. And really, it's based on information collected. You know, if they use the insights and data that they have available, they could do a much better job serving me. And the company I use now for my a lot of my banking transactions knows everything about me, just like Square does, that you have the ability to collect information from your merchants. Does this provide you an upper hand when competition with traditional banks and credit unions, and as far as being able to actually serve their needs based on what you see in transactions?
I think it's a great observation, Jim. I think it's important that that we collect a lot of information about the merchants, about the sellers, and we try to utilize that to benefit them. That's been the basis of how we've been able to underwrite them, and also understand you know, their needs and the timing of those needs. So those are all important pieces that really help differentiate Square, as you said.
Well, it's interesting because what's interesting from my dynamic is that if you're able to track their sales through their devices and what their needs are overall, you can reach out to them with services sometimes before they even know they need it. I've also often referenced my trip to Shenzhen, China in early 2020, when I was able to visit WeBank, Alibaba, and Ping An. You know, their marketplace advantage with being able to use alternative data, transaction data, information from how people use their mobile device, other outside data that is not often accessed to serve underserved segments. Is this really the strategy behind Square Financial, that you don't need to take just normal, you know, financial reports, but you really are looking at transactions and flow of cash, things of that nature?
Yeah, and first of all, that trip to China sounds like it was an amazing discovery of you know, banking and the finance, you know, the nature of finance in Asia. I totally agree that is that alternative data, when used in an unbiased way, can be very helpful in helping the customer make it through their journey, and they are focused on their business. And if we can help them focus on their business by providing the opportunities for banking services, for financial services that benefit them, then that's one less thing that they have to concern themselves with when they're trying to conduct, you know, their business.
So how do you see the power of AI assisting in the growth and servicing capability of Square Financial Services?
AI and machine learning is really the basis for what we do at Square Financial Services, because we don't underwrite traditionally. And so we are always updating that the data. Our data is virtually real time. And we understand a business's strengths and trends. And so that, as you've alluded to, I mean, AI and machine learning is just the heart of our business.
You know, it's interesting. last year was a tough year for small businesses, and wanted to understand a little bit about how the marketplace, from your perspective, rebounded from the impact of the pandemic that it had on small business. What has Square learned about the resilience of the segment and the needs of small businesses compared to what you saw before the pandemic? Because it really changed all the rules. It changed everything we knew about consumers, businesses, each other. What did Square learn, and how have you rebounded as a company? Because obviously transaction volume going down, especially with a small business, obviously impacts your business. But what have you learned since the pandemic, and what do you see in the future?
Well, I think you said it best. I think what has been amazing through this whole past couple of years is the resilience of small business and what it takes to change. And we at Square tried to help and do our part, where you think about, some businesses and the way that they were taking payments or even conducting business was that they had to alter everything about their business plan and on the fly. And it changed by the week and by the month. And so what we wanted to do is make sure that we provided tools for the small business that say had never, taken payments outside of a face-to-face type of a situation to payments that were not face-to-face and drive up and take out and all sorts of things that. That we had to build, and our engineers built solutions so that we could help these small businesses, alter the way that they did business. And I think that there are so many elements that happened over the last year that are critical, and a lot of that relates to the timeliness of the PPP program and government support. Because that happened at a time when everybody was uncertain, and I think it was just such an important piece of the puzzle to allow businesses to change and to alter the way that they did business, and ultimately we've seen processing return. In a very strong way. I mean, there are certainly small geographies or segments that are recovering slower, but I would say overall, it's just been amazing to see the perseverance of the small businesses. And again, we have seen a down credit cycle where things changed and a very strong stress scenario, and they have come out and we have learned and come out much stronger, I believe.
So let's take a short break here and recognize the sponsors of the podcast. This show is sponsored by FIS. Have you ever felt frustrated in checking out online or making a payment over the phone? The GoCart team at FIS Impact Lab certainly was, and that's why they created a better payment experience. GoCart recognizes your email and lets you pay quickly anywhere, with no passwords and no long forms. You can pay faster for anything, even things you wouldn't expect, like healthcare, professional services, and more. GoCart also goes beyond online checkout and allows you to pay easily by email, text, and even with QR codes. If you sell products or services online or in-store, find out how you can use GoCart to simplify payments and increase your sales at GoCartPay.com/podcast. FIS, advancing the way the world pays, banks, and invests. Welcome back. I'm joined today by Lou Goodwin, CEO of Square Financial Services. We've been discussing the strategy behind the formation of Square Financial Services and the competitive advantage of a tech firm offering financial services as opposed to a traditional bank. So, Lou, one of the dynamics of Square that's very obvious is that you're an extraordinarily innovative firm. You've been innovative from the very beginning, but even more so now, the rapid nature of dynamics of change in banking is happening so quickly. But I would say the Square is really in the forefront. We last saw each other at the MX Forum, and one of the questions we were asked, Ron Shevlin and I were asked in our debate, was which firm do you think is the best position for success? And I will admit that both Ron and I had basically the same answer that said, you know, while there may be organizations that have deeper pocketbooks, there aren't many that match the innovative spirit and innovative nature of Square. What can you tell us about how important that is to the dynamic of what you're doing at Square Financial Services, but really about the impact you can possibly have in the marketplace when your organization is continually, I wouldn't say reinventing itself, but certainly transforming itself over time to better serve your target markets?
A great question. And it is so important to maybe not look at what others are doing, but focus on our ability to serve our sellers and provide a great experience while doing so. Because if we don't, somebody will. And I think that's been our opportunity when you look at traditional financial institutions, is that they do a good job at serving the masses, but they miss the edges, and the edges are very big. There are millions of people that need and really are looking for financial services, and we like to make sure that we're looking ahead at trends, at things that our sellers need, and a lot of the data that we get helps us understand and identify that, but it's really anticipating the needs and having the flexibility and the strong set of engineers and data scientists to build that and to make it a reality. As you've been in the financial institution world for a long time, it seemed like innovation was very slow to come about 25 years ago. And now we look at it, and Square's just been in business a little over a decade, and we've seen the evolution cycle move very quickly. And there's no reason to not expect that to accelerate going forward. I think it's important that you as a provider need to really look deep and plan forward to say, this is what we believe that our customers will require and want.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it's one thing to be a disruptor and be on the cutting edge and be an innovator and being a fintech. But as you said, you've been in business for a decade now. There could be a tendency for some firms, and there are tendencies for some firms, to almost become legacy mindset in a decade because the world is changing so quickly. And one thing that, you know, Square has really been good at is staying in the forefront of change, keeping that challenger mindset, continually disrupting the marketplace. I think, you know, a good example is recently you introduced a new set of services called Square Banking that introduced a newly designed deposit services, including both a checking and a savings account. Can you explain the services that are offered as well as the benefits of these products for small businesses?
Sure. You think about checking and savings accounts as being fairly mundane, but to the population of small businesses, that is something that hasn't really been offered to them before. A traditional bank may look at providing consumer services, but the small businesses have been, again, overlooked in that equation. And to really fully participate, small businesses have not had access to, I would say, low fee or low minimum products. And so they have done a lot of their transactions through their personal accounts. And I think it's what we are trying to offer is that that we are offering accounts that are tailored for small businesses, allowing them to have their business transactions in these accounts and be able to separate their personal transactions. And when we look at a checking account or a savings account, it is just paramount that they understand the value of having, say, for example, a savings account where they can put money and set it aside into different folders and prepare to pay their quarterly taxes or save up for that that espresso machine that breaks down at a key point. And a lot of times that's what our lending takes care of. But to help a small business become self-reliant on their cash flows and understand and manage their cash flows is going to be critical for their success. And the better the small business, the more processing they can do, and the whole chain and value chain benefits from that.
You know, it's interesting. I almost laughed. You said setting aside money for quarterly taxes is that, you know, as a small business, and I'm a small business owner, and probably a good example of some of the businesses you're speaking of, because while I have a lot of things going on, that's part of my problem is that, you know, I'm spending a lot of time trying to keep my businesses going, and I don't have the time set aside to do the basics right, the banking issues right, to understand, geez, I've had a pretty good year. How much more do I need to set aside in the future? Oh, geez, how do I balance everything that's going on? And more importantly, how does this become something that is taken off my plate, but another organization can take it on? And it gets back to my frustration with my financial institution is they provide a place to store my money really well. They provide a place where I can write checks or make payments fairly well. But the reality is, by not understanding what I really need, which is I need budgeting skills, I need taxation skills, I need to understand flow and ebbs and flows of cash. You know, you can tell your merchants what months are going to be best for them, even though they may not know for sure based on outflows and inflows. And, you know, again, it gets down to that whole innovation thing, but it also, I think, gets back to engagement. And we've been talking quite a bit in the podcast around the difference between having an account and having relationships. And I think one of the things that Square seems to have down pretty well is building relationships, because you make it so that the engagement level of your merchants is very high, that they want to go and check their Square Cash, their Square app on a regular basis, say, where am I? How am I doing? My Square banking products, where's the flow going? What's working? So, you know, you don't stop there. You recently acquired Afterpay, a major player in the buy now, pay later marketplace. Obviously, payments, deposit services, and now lending services and a buy now, pay later product shows that the marketplace is just changing so dynamically. You also been talking quite a bit about the offering of Bitcoin acceptance and things of this nature. Is this also just part of the whole transformation of Square and Square Financial Services to be able to serve every single need that a small business owner may have?
It is. And that's, again, well said, Jim. I think that there are so many opportunities and so many areas that we need to help our sellers and our customers give them a place to transact, give them a place to move forward with their business, and having them focus on being an expert in what they do, whether it's hairstyling, coffee shop, a craftsman in some way, allowing them to not have to worry so much about things that are very important to them, as you said, cash flow, cash management, being able to work through the ebbs and flows of the cycle and the business cycle. But we want to make sure that we are providing them the tools and that they're very intuitive in how they can help them further their business.
You know, a lot's been said about embedding financial services within super apps. And, you know, Square, if you take it apart, there's a lot of those components that you're building in here to make it so the small business really relies on you to get them going in the day. This obviously impacts the trust factor. Is this one of the reasons why there's several fintech firms, yourself included, that really rank higher than many, many traditional banks from the trust factor? Is that the organizations actually feel like you're getting into business with them as opposed to just accepting their business as a customer?
Yeah, to me, trust is paramount. If you can provide a gateway for the customer to trust you, to know that when you're dealing with Square, that you are being treated fairly and that they are looking out for you in a way. And so, you know, trust takes a long time to build and it takes just a second to lose it. And so it is important that you're always, having a value proposition and a way of dealing with customers that is going to allow them to continue to feel that they can trust you.
No, and you know, another question I have is, there's a social aspect to the small business marketplace. You know, people that sell items on an online platform are different than those who sell it on a physical space. Those who are in the restaurant business are different than those that may sell novelty items or clothing or something like that. Is there a social community way of communicating within merchants in the Square platform, or ways for organizations to kind of reach out to others to see how they can improve their business? Since you have so much information on the Square customer, I'm wondering if there's some social aspect to Square that you don't see from the naked eye or from the debits and the credits.
Yeah, I mean, we do have those opportunities for our sellers to understand and learn from each other, and I think that is important to, you know, to further grow and facilitate those conversations, because you know, we do have a lot of understanding of the different types of merchants and the different trends that we would be seeing, both geographically and by segment.
And finally, you know, there's no lack of announcements in the marketplace of acquisitions, partnerships in the fintech space. Square is obviously being the center of some of these discussions. How do you see the world of finance, especially in the small business, but even broader than that? How do you see the world of finance evolving? I was going to say in the next 5 to 10 years, but let's make it more logical, seeing that we've been tested on your ability to predict anything nowadays. Let's say in the next 2 to 5 years, what do you really see happening, not maybe specifically, but as finance in general is moving?
I certainly don't have a crystal ball, as none of us do, but I as we talked about earlier, things are evolving so quickly, and there are so many firms with great ideas and ways to help customers achieve what they feel is important to them. There are so many new aspects that are coming in, whether it be cryptocurrency or other things that are, you know, interesting and will bring in, to me, more consumers and more businesses into the marketplace. Because the thing is that it's easy to serve customers of high net worth and high value, but it takes a real strong business plan and dynamics to bring and open up and add to the number of customers that are out there to make your platforms appealing to many more people in different ways than they have been seen before. And so I think the next 2 to 5 years will see a continuation of a really strong evolution of financial services to the marketplace.
Lou, thank you for being on the show today. You know, I said it to you offline. I said it to you when I saw you in Utah a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to say that, you know, anybody who's followed me for any length of time knows that I truly believe in the comments. You know, you need to embrace change. You need to take risk, and you have to disrupt yourself, both as individuals and as financial institutions or companies. And that those who can quickly adapt to new environments and stay on the front of that curve will be the successes. And Lou, I really admire you in what you've done, what you've achieved, but more importantly on where you've gone, because I think that you're on the forefront of a lot of things that weren't even thought of a decade ago. And both what you've done at GoBank, what you've done at Square Financial Services, and what you're going to do next, whatever that is, I will just say that it's really an honor to know you, but it's really good to see somebody that really takes it and says, you know what, I can't rest on my laurels. I can't accept status quo. I got to be part of whatever's happening, changing going forward. So again, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Banking Transform, rated a top 5 banking podcast. I really appreciate the support you have provided since we started the endeavor. If you enjoy what we're doing, please be sure to follow Banking Transformed on your favorite podcast app. In addition, we'd really love you to leave a review that gives us an idea as to what you like and what you want to hear in the future. Finally, be sure to catch my recent articles on the financial brand and check out the amazing research we're doing on the Digital Banking Report. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcast. A special thank you to our producer, Leah Longbreak, audio engineer, Sean Rule Hoffman, and video producer, Will Prince. I wouldn't be able to do any of this without them. I'm your host, Jim Roos. Until next time, remember, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.